at the end of her worship time, she asked for some people for prayer, and I just happened to be there. I didn't know Sue at the time, and I went over and laid hands on her with everybody else, and we prayed. And I didn't really even know what was wrong, but it was serious. And then I saw her at the Messiah Conference like 6 months later, and she told me that she had read a certain book and had gone down to Georgia to be exposed to take the course that they give down there, and that she had been totally healed from this. And I still didn't even know what it was, okay? But I was so intrigued that I got the book, and I read the book, and that book is A More Excellent Way by Pastor Henry Wright. So some of you who have been with us for 6 years know that I have been referring to that book for 6 years, right? And it really set me on the course of trying to understand, you've heard me say this over and over again, the spiritual roots of disease. And understanding that I believe there's like 85% of chronic diseases that people have a spiritual root. And when I talk about spiritual roots, it's things like unforgiveness and bitterness and fear, those kind of things. So that has had a tremendous effect on many of you in this room, as I've shared that with you, and we have seen healings, and just one of those healings is sitting in the back of the room, and I'm not going to make her stand up or anything, but this is the first time my wife, Diane, has been with us in 15 years, okay? And it is... Thank you, guys. Thank you. But her presence here and the improvement that she's had has been a result of all of that sequence of events and looking into those spiritual roots. And I always have to give the caveat, it's not just about disease. There are spiritual roots of every dysfunction that we deal with. There are spiritual roots of relationship problems. There are spiritual roots of financial problems. There are spiritual roots of learning disabilities. All those kind of things are part of this. So this has been an incredible journey for me, and I believe for most of you who have followed along and this understanding. And so we invited Brian and Sue to come this summer because your agent basically called you and said you were going to be in the area. And it wasn't until like a month afterwards that I looked at the calendar and I realized that we have scheduled having the people from Georgia here in mid-September. And then the person who first made me or acquainted me with that ministry here now. And all of a sudden, it was like, you know, I really see the Lord's hand in timing. And so the timing was just beyond my, you know, it was amazing. I knew that this was about. So I asked Brian and Sue to come and not only do music, which they in the past, I think that's what we've done, but to share the story of what went on and what they've learned, and for you to actually see this young lady who is so full of energy now, because when she's going to tell you what she had, you will understand how serious this was. So let's give them another hand, and I'll turn things over.
Can we use two mics? Maybe I'll bring this to the chair.
We have another wireless.
You have another wireless?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shalom. That is awesome. Shabbat Shalom. What a beautiful testimony. I'm all tangled. Thank you, Father. Well, I just want to preface this by saying that only God gets the glory.
Yes.
And no place in Georgia, no pastor, only Him. And, you know, there are many, many different healing ministries. And people get healed for many different reasons and in many different ways. And that's just the vessel that God used for my healing and for many, many others. And there were definite spiritual roots for the condition that I had. And just as a sort of a history, I want to say this, but I want you to remember to cast it in the sea of forgetfulness because it's finished. And it's over and it's gone and it's forgiven. But I want to give you sort of a frame of reference for why I had what I had. I was abused as a child. My whole family was. My dad didn't have the tools that he needed to be a good dad to six of us and my mom. And so I was physically and emotionally abused. I had teeth knocked out of my mouth by his fists when I was 3 years old. And, you know, I also got to witness those kinds of things happening to my family. I'm going to put this down so I can see. To my family, and I was told I was stupid. I was told I was fat, you know, just different things like that. And so those kinds of issues can implant within a child seeds of self-loathing, self-hatred, and unforgiveness, obviously. So when I came to have this condition that I had, it was a work of the enemy first and foremost, because no one could figure out what was wrong with me. And what he loves to do is to confuse and confound. And so it started, you know, I went through many, many years of just bizarre symptoms, not knowing what was going on, just neurological symptoms, dizziness, loss of balance, headaches, those kinds of things. The things you hear labels put on to, like chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia syndrome, a syndrome of some kind. And I'm a nurse by profession. So when I see certain symptoms, my reaction is to be afraid, because I think of all the horrible, terrible diseases that I've encountered as a registered nurse in the hospital. And I think worst case scenario, because that's all you see when you work in the clinical areas. And so when I first developed this symptom, which was I was in the shower. Actually, I was in the hot tub. Was it the shower? I was in the shower and I collapsed. And before that, I had woken up in the middle of the night and half of my body had gone completely numb and flaccid and I couldn't walk. And so I believe that that was the entrance way for the spirit of fear that came over me. And that was what started this period of time where I was going through medical treatment and diagnosis and workup. And eventually I got to a place where I couldn't stand, couldn't walk, couldn't sing, couldn't feed myself, you know, without a great deal of effort and weakness. I tremored all the time. I was always shaking. And I was ultimately, between many, many specialists, diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I was in the hospital, and I was treated for that with really intense IV steroids. And it was interesting because that was the culmination of many, many months of having been around and around and around. And any of you who have been in that cycle where they don't know what's wrong with you and they keep testing you and testing you and testing you, it's very frustrating. And so I was kind of actually welcoming the diagnosis, because that was the diagnosis that I had thought I had. But the moment that they said it, the moment when I should have felt so relieved just to have an answer, that was when I started fighting back at it. And I said, they can't diagnose me with that. I've only had one MRI, and I only, you know, and I went through my clinical brain and thought of all the reasons why it couldn't be that. And so even though I was being treated for it, and the treatment for multiple sclerosis, in case you don't know, can be really toxic to the body. I called the neurologist right then, and I said, what is this that you're diagnosing me with? Why? And I said, why are you diagnosing me with this based on one lesion on an MRI? And he said, oh, I'm not diagnosing you. The internist diagnosed you. You don't have MS. So I was like, well, that's nice, but what is it? And he said, I don't know what it is. You have to go to a neurosurgeon. You have a lesion on your spine. So I went to this neurosurgeon, and the neurosurgeon said, you have MS. You need to go to an MS specialist. So I went to not one, but two specialists in multiple sclerosis, and they didn't know what I had. And like I said, the enemy is the author of confusion and chaos. And so around and around I went. And that was around the time that your wonderful rabbi prayed for me, because I was in this state of not being able to stand, not being able to walk, not being able to button my sweater, and no one could tell me what was really wrong with me. Well, then finally, and the other thing that had been happening, as some of you may know if you've ever gone through this sort of thing, people, well-meaning people, will offer all sorts of solutions and advice. So I was going to this homeopath, and I was getting these nasty treatments for, they thought, Lyme disease, because everyone diagnosed, the homeopaths always diagnose you with Lyme disease and treat you for that no matter what. So I was taking this really rancid stuff, and there were not one but two people who approached me about Pleasant Valley Church in Georgia. The first one was Mike Moss, who is a rabbi in Florida. He said he had been there and stayed there for 4 months and was healed of depression. And then the second time, I was at my congregation trying to dance, and I just stumbled and fell and couldn't, you know, I was just so weak I couldn't continue. And this beloved family friend of ours, the Rudolphs, approached us and said, "You need to go to Pleasant Valley Church." And I said, "You can go there?" Because I had been reading this book that Mike Moss had given me. And I said, I was kind of hoping Pastor Henry would just come to my house because I don't know how I would get there. Anyway, I found out that you could go and spend a week. So I went, and the first ministry that they did is called the Ministry of the Father's Heart. And the reason they do this is because women in particular do not feel love from their father, from their earthly dads. And so it's a ministry where the men who are serving down there stand up in front of all of those who felt like they were never loved by their earthly fathers. And on behalf of these earthly fathers, they repent, they stand in the gap, and they ask for forgiveness. And the reason this is first is because all of that autoimmune stuff, you know, that multiple sclerosis, that fibromyalgia, all of that, and all those weird, wacky syndromes and conditions, oftentimes have a spiritual root of self-loathing, self-hatred, and, you know, abuse, children of abuse. And they find that the people that have this ministry right off the bat can be healed. Just from day one. They don't even have to continue in the program. And so I went through that. But the other thing that I want to tell you is that before I went down there, I also had really bad dairy intolerance. Couldn't eat anything dairy. If I ate anything dairy, you didn't want to be near me for days because it was really unpleasant. And I also had this set of MRIs at this with this final MS specialist. And on those MRIs, they found lesions on my liver. And so I was supposed to go back and follow up months later, you know, to see what that was about. I mention this because of what's going to happen next. I stayed at this place for a week, and I wasn't feeling all that great. You know, I went down there, I still felt really weak. I still felt like I couldn't walk. And the day came where they did the teaching about the spiritual root of disease being fear. And I knew that I had a lot of that because I was terrified all the time about what was wrong with me. And every time a new symptom would crop up, I would just panic over that symptom and think in my nurse brain of all the other conditions that I could have. It was kind of what we call now with cyberchondria. It's an extreme anxiety about your health and your condition, and you know whether I was having real symptoms or not, which I was, the fear over those symptoms actually made them much worse. And so I need to make that distinction, because what I was healed from was the fear, and that made my body whole. And so I went through this teaching, and they were just talking about the renewing of the mind through the washing of the word, and how it's a spirit of fear that comes from without to attack us from within. And if we agree with that spirit of fear, we may get sick. And, you know, that was the one that really moved me and really spoke to me so much, because I knew that I had this. And the book, the Bible tells us to only think of the true and lovely and beautiful and encouraging things, and not to think about anything else, because the power is in what's in our thoughts and what is on our tongue. The tongue has the power of life and death. And so I had been speaking and thinking doom and gloom and death and destruction over my body, not just because I had this unloving and self-loathing spirit, but because I was terrified. And when I was down there, the Friday night came, and people went and did their testimonies and shared their healing. One woman had been healed of breast cancer while she was down there. And, you know, some other person had been healed of cerebral palsy from the time he was born. And I was kind of frustrated because I still felt really weak and, you know, really significantly ill. But I went back home and I did what they call walkout. And I worked, you know, worked at making my thoughts align with God's word as far as my fearful thinking and my being terrified of this disease. And it wasn't instantaneous. However, while I was in Pleasant Valley, I had just received the teaching on fear, and I had my husband on the phone, and I said, there's a vending machine in front of me, and it has cheese and peanut butter crackers. I'm going to try it. I said, I'm going to try it and see what happens. I ate those cheese and peanut butter crackers, and I've been able to eat cheese and dairy ever since. I love my cheesecake, and I love my ice cream. As you can see.
And the interesting thing about that is that she did not go down there for anything to do with her cheese or dairy allergy.
Right.
She went down for the neurological symptoms. There was no thought whatsoever of this allergy. But after she went through it, she had that, you know, kind of moment. It's like, I'm going to have the cheese thing from the vending machine. And it was gone.
Yep.
You know? So that was just something residual that happened.
Yes. It was a bonus. And so then, you know, I started to get better physically gradually. It did take some time. I believe that was because I had been doing all that other homeopathic stuff. I think it actually made me more sick just because it was crazy. Some of that stuff that you take can be really, I'm sure if some of it is okay, but what I was taking was really toxic to my body. And so it took me some time, and it took my mind some time to change and adapt to this new way of thinking and this new way of living. And I just had to, you know, I had to press in. We have to press in. And so then I was just divinely healed. And I'll tell you what happened. I went for an MRI to follow up on the ones that I'd had where this lesion was on my liver. And I got a call. I was driving in my car, so I got a call on my cell phone. I didn't recognize the number. And it turns out it was the radiologist at the hospital. And this was at HUP, University of Pennsylvania, you know, the best cream of the crop hospital ever. And so they have all your personal information when you first go there. You get like a special ID card just to go into their system. So that's how he had my cell phone number. But the radiologist never calls you. You know what I mean? He never calls you. The radiologist called and said, I'm looking at your MRIs. I'm just wondering why did you have this? And I said to him, well, I told him the whole thing. I was worked up for MS. They found this lesion on my spine. It was in my, you know, on my neck. And then they saw, incidentally, these lesions on my liver, and they had to follow up. He said to me, well, I don't understand it. Not only do I not see anything on your MRI now, I don't see anything on your MRI from then. Is that crazy? I don't want to use that word. That's not the right word. But is that wild and wonderful?
Not crazy, but wild.
And so praise God. God in his grace and mercy chose to heal me. In his grace and mercy. And I'm grateful for that. Do you have anything to add? Because I just lost my train of thought.
So where do I start? if any of you feels defensive when you hear so much about Pastor Henry Wright and Pleasant Valley Church again and Be in Health Ministry, if any of you feel defensive about that, I say good, because the Lord wants to push our buttons until our buttons break, until we don't have any more buttons.
Yes.
And then we have no more offense and no more self-defensiveness. So if you're in that place, you're like, oh, here we go again with this, I'm a sinner, and that's why I'm sick. Good. That means that your buttons are being pushed, and that'll be there'll be a day when that button will be pushed, and it'll just go, and it won't be pushed no more, because it won't exist anymore. And let me just share one thing, unless you have something to say.
I was just going to add to that, that, you know, I went through this childhood that I went through that's been forgiven. And you might say, well, she wasn't sinful because she was thinking self-loathing, self-hating thoughts. That came to her. That was given to her by her upbringing. But what I learned is that anything that's not in line with his word, which is, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, I've been knitted in my mother's womb, his thoughts of me outnumber the grains of sand by the shore. All of these things, Psalm 139, for those of you who struggle with this, that's my theme psalm. But anything that doesn't line up with that is a sin, technically. And so, you know, they use that word a lot at Pleasant Valley. I don't even think of it that way. I just think of it that I need to change my way of living and thinking so that it's more in line with God's perfect word. Because he's perfect and we're not. Let's just get over it. We're just not. And so in altering that part of my life and my thinking, I was blessed to be healed. That doesn't mean that everyone will. I don't know why. I can't explain why. I wish I could, but I'm not God. All I can say is that no matter what, he will turn all things to work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you're struggling and you're in this area where you're just waiting and waiting and waiting and not getting healed, he's going to work it for good anyway somehow. And, you know, just keep trying. He says, keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking. My rabbi, bless his heart, he will walk up to someone who's blind and put his hands on their eyes and say, Lord, be healed. Can you see? They'll say no. He'll say, be healed in Yeshua's name. Can you see? They'll say no. Father, heal them in Yeshua's name. Can you see? No. And he will keep after them until they just get rid of him and tell him to leave him alone. But just keep knocking. Okay.
Where was I? So, right. I want to say this one thing about those who may be thinking this is all about a ministry and a pastor, a specific pastor and a specific ministry. Okay? We are the body of the Messiah. And we lose the sense of what that means to be the body of the Messiah, because in English, body also means assembly. Like, we're a body, you know, an assembly, right? We are the body of the Messiah. He is the head. We are the body. You get that? He's the head. We're the body. He sends the signal to the hand. The hand does something. But the signal comes from the head. He's the head, the Messiah. We are the body. The knee, if the Messiah tells the hand, if the head tells the hand, go pick this up, the knee doesn't say, oh, there he goes again, talking about the hand. Aren't we all part of the body? Can't I pick something up? You watch me try to pick up this water with my knee. And there'll be somebody with a vac, you know, a wet vac, whatever, dry vac, trying to clean everything up. Because the Lord has designated the hand for that purpose. And the knee for another purpose, maybe to kick somebody, you know, in the whatever. So it is with gifts. Okay? Some are given gifts of something, of one thing. Some are given gifts of another. Some are prophets, and some Adonai says, for whatever reason, this part of my body, of the body of my son, is the part that I will teach how to heal and reveal something about myself, about health, and about healing. So it's about the body of Messiah. It's not about a pastor or a place. It's just he happens to be. That place happens to be the part where Adonai says, okay, you're going to know how to pick this up. That's it. There are prophets out there. Some of us don't have a gift of prophecy. Some do. It's the way the body of Messiah works. And when the body of Messiah is in unity, there will never be a button that gets pressed when the hand gets to pick something up and the knee doesn't know how to do it, or the knee gets jealous or say, why is the hand so special? The day is coming where the body of Messiah won't have that type of reaction. But we're talking about the body of Messiah and the head who tells parts how to do certain things. Do we understand that? Yeah? So if there's anything out there that says, okay, this is about a pastor or this is about a place, we kick that right out of here. This is all about the body of Messiah. And you know what? There's nothing new under the sun. I guarantee there are many others that the Lord is told to do the same thing. The Lord is so big. Okay, if you can... There's the Lord, okay? This is the Lord. If you can put a boundary around the Lord, which you can't, okay? If you can put a boundary around the Lord, say this whole thing is the Lord, and the Lord opens up revelation to a part of his body about the spiritual roots of illness and about disease and about what needs to get removed from us for the healing to come. Somebody gets that revelation. Oh, what an amazing revelation. That is like this one whisker. Okay? There's so many aspects of Adonai. So, and what the reason I'm saying this is because it's so easy to say, this is the best thing ever! Yeah. Forget everything! This is what I'm talking about! Remember, Adonai is so big, everything is amazing, but it's a pimple on the body of Messiah. It's small. And I'm serious. You know, when we do that with ourselves, we get a revelation about something, the Jewishness of Messiah. Oh, this is everything! Everybody's got to know this! It's a bit. It's a revelation, right? And then somebody within that, oh, wait a minute, we got to keep the Torah. You know, that's the best thing. That's one aspect. So this is one aspect. So I just want to ground everybody in saying this is not about a ministry, and it's not the best thing ever. It's not like this is what Adonai is all about. It's a piece of what he's doing. Okay? Everybody knows that. And medicine knows that if you have headaches can be caused by stress. That's a no-brainer, right? We ain't got no problem if somebody says...
intended.
What?
No pun intended.
What did I say?
That it's a no-brainer.
No-brainer, okay, there you go, okay. If you have headaches and the doctor says, well, you have stress in your life, do something about this stress, are you going to say, he just called me a sinner? How dare you call me a sinner? No. Because even the world knows that certain things can cause certain things health-wise. We know that stress can cause headaches. And if you're given aspirin for the headaches, you're treating the symptom, but the root is not being addressed if you're dealing with stress. Okay? And stress is not necessarily... like, oh my God, my job really stinks, you know, and my boss is really on me. Sometimes stress can be a spiritual thing that we can't get away from. It's like it's on us and it envelops us, and we just can't get away from it. And it's not just situational. It's something that's there, and it's overwhelming, and we need help, and we need Adonai. If that's the case, then yeah, it's a spiritual thing. If you don't want to call it sin, fine, don't call it sin. You know what? Messiah took sin and put it on the cross, on the execution day. Don't call it sin. Just call it what it is. I'm dealing with stress, and I can't get rid of it. And yeah, that is a spiritual thing. Susie was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, right? And multiple sclerosis, like many other things, is an autoimmune disease. Anybody know what an autoimmune disease is? Anybody know what it isn't? Autoimmune disease is when your body, your immune system, starts to attack you. So it thinks that there are parts of your body, in your brain or whatever it is, wherever it is, it thinks that that is a foreign object and needs to get eradicated. So the immune system starts to attack it, but it's just you. It's not, you know, really a foreign object, okay? Everybody with me? Okay? So at Pleasant Valley, what the Lord has revealed and pulled off a layer of reality is some of the roots of some of these illnesses. And what we learned down there is that autoimmune disease, multiple sclerosis, things like that, have its root in self-hatred. And just like it makes sense to us that stress causes headaches, if you internally keep telling yourself, I hate you, I hate myself, I hate myself. You look in the mirror, I hate you, I hate myself, I hate myself, I hate myself. Guess what? Your body's going to start to believe that. And your body is going to listen. Just like, because we are a representation of Adonai. We were created in Adonai's image. He's the head. He sends signals to the body. We have a natural head that sends signals to our body. If in our head we're going, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, that head can start to transmit those signals to the body. And the body goes, oh, okay, me bad, I'm bad. Let's get the immune system to get rid of me. And that's, so do we understand that? Do you see how, just like stress causes headaches, how self-hatred, when your body reacts to that, it can cause your immune system to attack you. So the answer to that isn't always to take steroids. It's to get rid of the self-hatred. Okay? I went down there. Thank God I don't deal with health issues. Thank you, Adonai. Right now I don't deal with any health issues. But I have fear. And I have various other spiritual roots that I know, or it's not of me, it's not of Adonai, and it just needs to go. So I went down there myself, separately from Sue, after she had her incredible healing. I went down there separately, again, not because I'm sick, but because I have spiritual roots, for sure. Fear, things like that, like I said, that, you know, hey, if they have, you know, if Adonai has blessed them with a way to remove that. So all they do down there, it's real basic, okay? They will teach you about fear, right? They'll go through like an hour-long teaching about fear. They will repent. They will walk you through a structured repentance for aligning with the spirit of fear. Because remember, fear is not in you. It's something you're getting attacked by the spirit of fear. And they will bring you through a repentance of aligning with the spirit of fear, and then they'll cast out the spirit of fear. And after that sequence is done, you're like, whoa, that was intense. But don't take too long of a bathroom break, because then you come back and they're dealing with the occult. And they'll talk about the teachings about the occult and how that can affect you. And then lead you through repentance for aligning with the occult. And then casting out the occult. And then you think that's, you know, heavy enough. You're like, it's so heavy, but then after you're done, you'll feel like, whoa, this is so light. I just feel like floating. But don't take too long of a bathroom break. Because after that, they go into jealousy. The spiritual root of jealousy. Teaching about jealousy, leading us through a repentance for aligning with that spirit of jealousy, casting out the spirit of jealousy. Okay? So we all need this type of cleansing. All right, so I really encourage everybody to come and receive, and do not let any thoughts push those buttons. It's the body of Messiah. It's him. It's him in us. It's not Pastor Henry. It's Messiah within a vessel. That's always the way it is. So you're receiving from Adonai.
I just have something to add. Being a nurse who works in the hospital, I can tell you that, you know, and probably repent on behalf of the medical community, they are very generous with their word cursing. And I see it every day. Yep. And I'll tell people, I'll go in after a doctor leaves a room and makes a pronouncement, and I'll try to clean the mess up, because you could take two patients, for example, with the same condition, this like stage same of two to the same kind of cancer in a room. One of them will be told, you have 6 months to live and die 6 months on the day. The other will not and might live 10, 20 years, because they believe that the doctors are God or that their word is gospel. And so we just need to guard our ears when you're in that situation, because they're not. They're human just like us, and they might have a certain track record of things we all have seen when we're in that situation. But ultimately, they also need to cover themselves legally because if they are too positive, this is really sad, but if they're too positive, people will sue them for having not been realistic. And so, you know, that's kind of what you're dealing with when you hear them say those things. They, you know, they have families and they have homes and they have to protect themselves. And, you know, I guess that's a spirit of fear operating as well. But just give them grace and just know when you've been told something by any physician, you know, take it captive in the word of God and just allow him to speak the truth through you. You know, the truth can only come from the great physician, not from someone who has an MD after their name. And they don't have a crystal ball, so they don't have truth. No matter what they say, it's not true. Even if they say you're gonna be fine, they really don't know the truth, because unless, you know, God has revealed it to them somehow, and then we would need to get confirmation and all the things that we would do if someone were offering prophetic word over us. We would sift it and we would filter it, and we gotta laugh. But you know, so you have to just bear that in mind when physicians are speaking with you. Do you want to share about Rudy?
Yeah, so one of the things, it says to test things, you know, test spirits and things like that. So one way that you know when things are from Adonai and things are not from Adonai is you look at the fruit. Because, how can I say this? Okay, Yeshua is the seed. It says in the New Testament, Yeshua is the seed. Paul calls him the seed, the seed of Abraham, not seeds, but seed, calls him the seed, right? The seed, you know, gets planted, and up comes plants, and the plants develop fruit. And inside the fruit is the same seed that was planted. And it propagates itself, and it reproduces after its own kind. That's what good seed does. It reproduces after its own kind. And this is something that we've experienced here after our experience with Pleasant Valley. We all have these incredible experiences with Adonai, and then we go home, and it was like a one-time thing. And we're grateful for those. We love these experiences, but oftentimes they're one-time events. This was something, I have to say, that kept propagating and propagating, and that seed kept developing into fruit, and that fruit kept dropping seed, and that seed kept on coming up into more fruit. And that fruit kept on developing seed and dropping seed, and that seed was planted again, and more fruit came, and more fruit came. And that's a sign that it's holy. Because the scripture says that everything will reproduce after its own kind, and Messiah is the seed. And when you see him moving over and over, over time, from the same root, from the same seed, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. So we had, you know, after this experience, of course, we had the opportunity to share the experience with a lot of people. We shared it with our rabbi in New Jersey, when we lived in New Jersey, Rabbi Jan Rosenberg. He wound up going down there. He had fibromyalgia. He came back. He didn't have fibromyalgia. Okay? We shared it with Jenny Getz. Jenny Getz went down there. We don't have such a relationship with Jenny where we know the outcome. I know that she's still dealing. Doesn't have cancer anymore, right? She went down there with her cancer. She doesn't have cancer. Okay, we shared it with Rabbi Jim. And it's just amazing how the Lord uses things. I remember when we were at the rabbi's conference a couple of years ago, like Rabbi Jim, and Susie she could not stand on her feet. She just couldn't. And I remember she went up there to worship. She was helping with the worship, and she had no strength to do it. So she went there, and she sat, and she croaked into the microphone singing, you know, as best she could with her weak voice, you know, and it was really tough, really tough. And I remember when you, Rabbi Jim, when you came and prayed over her. It was at that congregation where that rabbi, Michael Moss, said, you know, you're probably getting a lot of stuff from everybody. Everybody's got the best remedy. Everybody's got the best vitamin. Everybody knows what to do to be healed. So I'm not going to tell you that, all right, but I'll just give you this book and just read it at your own leisure. Okay, I know, and Michael Moss said, I know I had a lot of good experience there. I was an angry, bitter man, which will surprise you if you know Michael Moss. He is the most mild-mannered man you will ever meet in your life. He's a rabbi in Florida, messianic rabbi in Florida, dealt with anger, lots of it, and spent a lot of time down there. So he gave us the book, and like Susie shared, she read the book and then went down there. So I was sharing how the seed just propagates after its own kind, and that shows that Adonai is in it, because it just keeps propagating good fruit. Good fruit keeps popping up. Good fruit keeps popping up. One of the things that we dealt with was at our congregation in New Jersey, there was a young girl named Ruti. Does anybody here know Ruti? Okay. Not too many of us. You've seen her maybe. She's at Messianic Conference. She lives in New Jersey. Give her a call. Go Facebook friend her if you do Facebook. Okay? She'll tell you all about it. She had something called multiple chemical sensitivity. Now, we grew up with her. Okay? When we were, you know, at Beth Zion in New Jersey, leading praise and worship and going there, we went there for 11 years. We knew Rudy when she was this big. Okay? And she seemed okay, I think, when we left. I don't remember. Maybe before we left, she started dealing with this. But she had multiple chemical sensitivity. That means you are allergic to everything. Okay? She would go out, the sun ray would hit her face, and she would break out all over her face. Okay? She would eat anything, and she would have allergic reactions. Okay? Her family, her parents, had to put her in the basement. And there she stayed for 5 years at tough ages. We're not talking from 1 to 6, and that's tough. We're 17 to 22. The basement. Because she couldn't see this. She couldn't sit here with the sun coming through that window without having an allergic reaction. And we told the parents, Orin Frankel and Elaine Frankel, we told them, you know, we had a great experience there. You know, it may be a blessing to you if you give them a call or you find out about it, you know, because they seem to have a lot of fruit when it comes to this healing thing. And by the way, when it comes to allergies and this, especially the multiple chemical sensitivity, it's like 100%. It's just the fruit. It's just reality. You can't deny the statistics. It's just reality. People go down there with multiple chemical sensitivity, and the success rate of it going away and never coming back is like 99%, and I'm not kidding. Nor am I exaggerating. Okay? So we told them, you know, so, you know, maybe a blessing to send her down there. I know Adonai is using them in healing, but it didn't take, you know, and we're not pushy. So we just kind of like, okay, well, Baruch Hashem, you know, we just keep lifting her up. I think one other time we told them, you know, you may be a blessing to go down there. 5 years later, of course, in Adonai's perfect timing, they called Pleasant Valley, and they put the folks, the operators, on the phone with Ruti in her basement, and they prayed over her and started reading scriptures about the spiritual roots of disease. Bitterness rots the bone, fear melts the heart, various scriptures. They started reading over her and praying over her. They called them a second time. She never went down there. After call number 2, she said, "Mom and Dad, I'm healed." And she walked out of the basement after 5 years. And Oren, the dad, who I was under his tutelage on the worship team, he taught me all the Messianic songs I know. He told me what happened when she came out of the basement. Her first thing she wanted to do was walk outside, of course, and walk around the house. So her and Dad walked around the house, and it took them 2 hours to get around the house because she stopped at every tree to touch it and every flower to go close to and smell and to experience all the things she missed. 2 hours it took. And they finally went down there as well, and they had their experience. But she was healed from the conversation. I'm just stating facts. Oh, what's going on? It's all about a ministry. No. God help. We remove you from this room, Antichrist spirit. Remove you from this room that denies what Messiah is doing. Yeah. So that was, again, like the seed propagating itself, the fruit that keeps coming and coming and coming. And when Rabbi Jim called us and we're sharing about sharing here, just felt in my spirit that this is the continuation of that fruit that has the seed, and the seed that's in the fruit is exactly the same that was planted from day one, because it reproduces after its own kind. And we believe that this experience from today into what's happening next month is just continuation of that same seed, that same fruit. Really, really believe that. So what else? What are we missing? Tell me. questions. Thank you, Laura.
Come on down, Rebbe.
So I just want to continue the story. When Diane and I were in Georgia, I was walking out of one of the sessions, and I looked down, and there was a young lady there with a complete Jewish Bible. So I was a little shut surprised, because generally in that part of the country, nobody knows anything about Messianic Judaism. It was Rudy. That was when they got down there. And then she introduced me. She found out that I was a rabbi. She introduced me to Oren and Elaine, and the whole family was there. And to top it off, on Thursday of the week down there, they do immersion in water. So the whole Frankel family was immersed at once in this little baptismal thing. I have pictures of it. So it's just amazing how the fruit is connected. So that's the rest of the story.
Yes, they're very messianic friendly, because I was immersed when I was down there, and they made sure that they said, in the name of the Father, Yeshua. Yes.
Jewish people have gone there. Non-believers have gone down there. Jewish people, Orthodox Jews, and they're very sensitive to that. They don't want to just turn Jewish people off by being overly Christian on them, but they will pray always in the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
Right.
But with them, they're like, you know what? We're not going to let that get in the way of ministering to God's kids. So they would always pray over them in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're very Jewish friendly. The first thing you'll go down, if you ever go down there, the first thing you'll see is a Sid Roth video. And throughout the week, without even knowing that I was Messianic or there was any a Jewish person in their congregation, throughout the week, they would talk about how grateful they are to the Jewish people, how they're one with the Jewish people. It's just part of their foundation, and it just came out. It wasn't the focus, but it always came out. So very, very Jewish friendly, very Messianic friendly.
Hallelujah.
So let me just explain how this is all fitting together. Rosh Hashanah is on September 17th, a Monday. Okay, the next day is the beginning of the Days of Awe, the 10 days when we are supposed to be doing introspection, seeking God for things that need to be gotten rid of. Right? Everybody understand that? So that next day is the 18th of September, and what will happen is that right here in this room, the folks from Be in Health Ministry will be here doing the class that all of us took in Georgia. And this is a big step for the ministry, because they understood that this is such a complex subject that you can't just give people a little of it piecemeal. This is why it's a week-long course. And it's like 40, 45 hours, the course, when you take it in Georgia. So this year is the first year that they've moved it out, and it's been given in 33 cities around the country over the course of this year, and we are one of those 33 cities. So it will start Tuesday morning. It will go until 9 o'clock Tuesday evening. It'll be all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, and all day Friday. So here's how it works. We were given a donation by an anonymous person, a large donation to scholarship people to go to take this class. So what the elders have decided is that if you are feeling like you should go to this class, money should not be a problem. There will be provision for you to go. I think a lot of people, the difficulty will be getting out of work because it's a whole week. So it's very important to give you advance warning on that so you could schedule that if you can schedule that. So if you want to go, here's the process, the way it works. I've just been working it out recently. You have to register for this class online. The link is in the bulletin. It's also in the email announcements that come out. You register online, and you put it on your credit card. And when you finish doing that, you can print out the receipt. You bring us the receipt, and you tell us how much of that you can afford, and we're expecting most people will be able to afford some of it, and this scholarship fund will pay the rest. Now, the scholarship fund is not unlimited, so I want to suggest it's going to be like first come, first served, so you need to get on it relatively quickly. If you don't have a credit card, you can't do it online, you can call the phone number. It's actually on the poster that's out in the lobby, and you can register and send in a check. And if you're going to send in a check, again, let me know how much you can pay, how much your check will be, and we will write a check for the rest to Be In Health so that you get registered. So I see so much the hand of the Lord, not only in the timing, but in the donation to make this happen. And this is going to be, you know, something we'll be reminding you of over the next few weeks. But again, this having Brian and Sue here was like a kickoff to getting this to happen. So that's the details. If you do it, I think probably be first would be to contact me and let me know that you're planning on doing it, how much you can afford, so we can get some feel of, you know, how many people we're going to be able to help with this. Okay, you guys have something more?
I just want to say that I am fine. I'm great now. I go to the gym like 4 or 5 times a week and work out like for 2 hours. So, yeah, there's not even a hint of that other thing that they pronounced over me. It's all gone. Praise God.
That is so amazing. That is so amazing.
Praise God.
We thank you, Lord.
By His grace. By His mercy.
Yes. So let's just give thanks.
Yes.
Thanks for the living miracle. Really, that's what we're witnessing here, is a miracle. I mean, we hear about miracles all the time, but it's great to be able to hear and see, hear from and see one and be one. So, Father, we are just so thankful for what you have done for Sue, and, of course, for Brian, too, because it certainly affected him. And we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it, that you have chosen to reveal at this time some of the more powerful ways of dealing with the many afflictions that people have in our culture, in our society. And so we just thank you. We thank you for Sue. We pray that she would continue to walk in health, that she and Brian would continue to sow good seed, and that seed would bear much fruit, fruit that remains, fruit that is beautiful, fruit that is also propagates further fruit. We pray also your blessing on their music ministry. We thank you for the incredible gifting that you've given them to play and to write and to arrange. And we pray that you would continue to augment that gift, to continue to make it grow. And we ask your blessing, Lord, on the rest of their visit here, on the interview this afternoon on the radio station, on the place that they're going to be sharing tomorrow morning. We just commit it all to you, Father. And Father, I just want to lift up to you right now people who are here, or people who watch this on video or hear it on the podcast, and just pray, Father, that you would be speaking to people, whether it's about a physical ailment that they have, something chronic that they're struggling with that has been diagnosed or even not diagnosed, that the doctors don't know how to deal with. But I also pray, Father, for people who know that there's areas of their lives that are dysfunctional, whether it's financial or about relationships or about ministry or about work, all of these different areas, Father. I pray that if they're to go and receive this understanding of the spiritual roots and to receive the ministry there, I just pray you'd be speaking to them right now in a loud enough voice that anything of the enemy would be drowned out, and that they would make the time and be able to participate in what goes on here in September. And I just bind the power of the enemy right now to any antichrist spirit, any lying spirit, any divisive spirit that would keep people from participating if this is what God's plan is for them. In Yeshua's mighty name. And we thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Daniel, did you want to say? Sure. Danielle's another one who has been healed through this.
Yeah. I just wanted to share, this is something that I say a lot when I talk about my healing, and that is that the whole entire idea behind this ministry is not healing. It's actually becoming more like Yeshua, and the side effect is healing. So I think sometimes we get fixed on healing when it's really just about getting rid of junk. So what better time than the 10 days of awe? So I just really think that, and like what Brian said, I intend on doing it. I've been healed, but I intend on doing it because I want to learn as much as I can. So.
Well, there's a lot of people here who don't know how you were healed. Why don't you share
it real quick? I had polycystic ovarian syndrome. I was diagnosed, and I actually had torsion, which is very, very rare. It's when your ovary becomes enlarged and is too heavy for your fallopian tube to hold it up, so it actually twists the fallopian tube and cuts off the blood circulation. So my ovary died, and I had to have it removed. They had an emergency surgery. And after that happened, it was kind of around the same time, like a similar time, and I heard about Henry Wright and spiritual roots and things like that. And so I talked with Gina, who has been through the course several times, so she has a lot of understanding about it. I talked to her about it, and I asked her to pray with me. And I was in the hospital, and there was like just sheet curtains. So there was lots of people around, and anyone could have heard exactly what was going on. And she's like, "Are you comfortable with, you know, repenting of things?" And I'm like, "Sure." So I'm sitting in this little like hospital sheeted off area, and I'm like, and it's like the list is like 50 things, and I'm like, "Oh my word." And so I'm like, "I repent of bitterness towards my mom. I repent of involvement in the occult." And it just was like on and on. And some of the stuff was like, "This, I must sound like a complete lunatic." Like, people, yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I have this stuff. Like, it was like, I think some people could become like, "Well, I don't have that. Why do I need to repent of that? That's not in me. I'm sure that's not in me." And I'm like, "What the heck? If it is, I don't want it. So why would I hold on to it and try to figure out whether or not I have it? I don't want it." It's not like I'm like, "Well, I'm not sure if I have to repent of that, so I'm just going to keep that just in case I don't need to repent, because I'm a holy person." Like, I'm like, none of this stuff is good. It's all pretty blatantly evil. So yes, check. I don't want it. Pitch it. Get rid of it. And I was healed. They went and they did a test, and they were like, all of your cysts and all my syndromes were completely gone. And their response was that I had been misdiagnosed. And they have my file. And in my file, I have pictures that show that I have it and pictures that show that I don't. And so either they mixed up the file or there was a miracle. And so it's... And I have three babies. So,
because part of all this was that she wasn't going to be able to be pregnant.
Right. Yeah.
That was the bottom line on the whole thing. Yeah. Was fertility was not in the picture.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, I'd like to say that I think your healing is a continuous process, because the enemy does still try to come in and bring fear, or try to say you weren't healed. And if after each pregnancy, it's like, well, you know, there is the enemy will come in and he'll say, you know, "Were you healed, or was it just coincidence, or was it this or that or the other thing that made this happen?" And ultimately, it's the Lord. The Lord is the author of life, and every single child is a miracle, and every single pregnancy is from the Lord. It's not from any other thing. There is nothing else that can produce life. So...
Amen. Thank you, Danielle.
I actually think that was why I was healed of the dairy thing, and why they found those lesions on my liver, because had I only been healed from this physical neurological condition that I had, I would have probably done that and said, it wasn't anything. It was probably some syndrome post-viral and would have run its course anyway. But because I was so definitively healed of those other things that I had evidence of, I mean, I knew I couldn't eat dairy. He knew I couldn't eat dairy. And so the fact that I can now consume vast quantities of ice cream, and the only thing that will happen is I'll gain 20 pounds, which is normal, that's just evidence that I was really, really, really healed, and there's no question in my mind.
And there's one other thing that I just want to share that I won't talk long, but that one thing they do deal with also is things called generational curses. I just want to just share that they do that. I think, because it does say that I will bring curses down to 3 and 4 generations and blessings to 1,000. So there is a biblical reality in that, like, if your parents dealt with something, your grandparents dealt with something, it's there, you know? And some of you just may realize, like, man, I can't believe I'm doing that. Like, my mom does that, or my granddad does that. Like, why am I like this? You know, like, there is a reality of that. And that's a big, big part of it also. Big part of it. That they'll cast out those things from generational lines. And if I remember correctly, they have fruit where they'll cast something out, a generational curse within you, and like your kids are healed. You know, they have that type of fruit as well. So that generational thing is something that's very, very prevalent in what they're dealing with there as well. So I just wanted to share that.
So we are going to do one more thing. We're going to take up an offering for Brian and Sue. And you guys got another song you can do? And did you get CDs out?
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, there's some things on the table. We normally don't share about Sue's CDs at all. We're non-promotional. But there are things on the table that you don't know what they are. So I just wanted to share about that. So there is a CD there. It's called Someplace. The Lord put on my heart to help songwriters all over the place. We all have our top maybe 3 or 4 messianic artists, right? We can name them probably all in one hand. But Susie and I find that when we go to congregations like this one all around the country, the Lord is writing songs through so many people. So many people. So he put on my heart to create a website where anybody that feels the Lord is writing through them or singing through them, create a page for themselves and start offering your songs to the body of Messiah. We get you on the radio. Ethel's on there. We get you on the radio. We have now a radio program. And also the Lord, I felt he tell me the best way to get some of these incredible songs out is put them on a CD. Because some people just like to have the physical CD. So there is a CD, Someplace CD, of 11 of the songs that are on there. If the Lord is writing through you, you are free to upload your songs and offer them for as much as you want, or even for free. There's a lot of folks that just want to offer their songs for free. They're not interested in making money. They just want to, you know, have those songs out there. Or if you just love praise and worship music, you can peruse the songs that are out there. So that's Someplace. That's on the table as well.